Hi, Steve.
Hello, Mayan.
I'm so happy to have you on.
Glad to be on.
So, dear Glimpse of Brilliance listeners, today my friend Steve is joining me. Steve is awesome. He's the author of Echonovation. His company is Idea Factory with a K. It helps businesses overcome disruption and partner with tech startups. He actually writes for Forbes, LinkedIn, Influencer, and Harvard Business Review. So we are very lucky indeed to have him on. You can read all about his sarcastic wisdom, which is truly sarcastic, at Idea Factory. Again, that's with a K. IdeaFactory.com. So today, Steve is joining me to talk about his little theory on how success smothers greatness, which I found really fascinating. What I love about Steve is that he's very business savvy, no bullshit, realistic, but actually I think your points of view, Steve, affect all aspects of life, even for people who aren't business people.
Yeah, I think that life is a sort of business that some of us do better at than others at different times in our lives. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of similarity and overlap. And if you notice, a lot of the stuff that people are writing about these days and some of the most popular articles are all very self-helpy, you know, like a leadership and like, you know, how to succeed and or manipulate people at the office to get the right results. It's a lot of people type stuff. It's not really just purely, you know, here's the strategy or here's the technology or here's the whatever. It's, you know, people are gravitating to the more human aspects because really that other stuff is going to take care of itself for the large part.
Oh, that's so you feel like that's valid that things are gravitating in that direction?
Yeah, I think there's a strong craving among people to rehumanize the workplace because the work itself a lot of times has become very esoteric. Like it's very abstract.
What does esoteric mean again?
Just abstract. It's very, you know, like if you spend all day typing into a keyboard, whatever that typing is, you know, whether it's a chart or whether it's a PowerPoint or whether it's some sort of graphic design, there's a level of abstraction there where you would have a hard time connecting that to how you just afforded a meal. You know what I mean? Like you know, you're completely separate from the
meaning
value
it's
chain.
It's not just one step removed from planting seeds and then reaping the harvest. It's actually many, many, many steps removed from that.
Infinite number of steps. In fact, so many steps that people are in this vortex where they're like, I got to read some articles on how to be human in this place. You know, and like,
enter
what?
Steve.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I come in and some of the stuff I write about.
I love it. Yeah. So he's going to be joining us for one, two, three, we're not sure, a few podcasts for sure to discuss these kind of human things from a kind of cut and dry businessy perspective, dare I say. Okay. So today, being great in life, how success smothers greatness. So you told me that, you know, and I read about how this came about from going to a Russell Brand concert.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about this?
Yeah.
What you observed? I was
always a fan of his, at least from interviews that I've heard. You know, he would go on like the Howard Stern show or some of these other live TV things. And he's super quick, really witty, fast mind, funny, smart, well-read, just really interesting guy. And then I heard that he was doing this tour, which was, I guess, last year. It was about all of these, you know, great leaders. And I think on some level, he was trying to position himself among them. So Martin Luther King, Gandhi, you know, maybe even Mao.
But totally joking, right?
Joking
or tongue in cheek,
joking and yet not joking, because I think he has a narcissistic complex of sorts that in his mind he is among them. I don't know that he necessarily believes that he is as great as them, but I certainly think somewhere in there, buried in his demeanor, is the belief that he could be.
So, in the same way as like, there's always a little bit of truth to every joke.
Exactly. So I think he is very aware of his powers and potential, and you know, and he's a guy who has had adversity, a lot of it self-inflicted with drugs and other issues. So he's and growing up poor. So I think he's had that, and I think that probably contributed to making him this creative person. But the show itself was a little bit underwhelming for me once I actually went, because the topic was super interesting, because how is this comedic megalomaniac going to cover these other, in some cases, megalomaniacs, but really also singular,
Inspiring.
inspiring, singular thinkers, leaders, and so on. And
So what happened?
I think there were a lot of punchlines missing from from the show.
Wait, that means it wasn't funny? Is that what that
It
means?
was sporadically funny, and it was something that still felt like it was being workshopped, but you
Okay.
shouldn't be workshopping in front of a theater audience that paid between 60 and $200 a ticket. You should be workshopping in a club, and then once it's ready and polished and the punchlines are there and the material's tight, then you go in
Which
front,
is what Chris Rock does.
which is what Chris Rock does, which I saw him open up for Louis C.K. in Caroline's, and you know, Chris Rock can sell out theaters, but that wasn't the point. The point was, the reason he was opening was because he had a bunch of raw material that wasn't ready for prime time.
That's
So he,
awesome.
yeah, so he was there to, you know, be humble,
Right.
take his lumps, and he did, because some of the material was very spotty, but he knew that he had to throw it out there so he can get a reaction and work it out. And I don't know that based on what I saw from Russell, he did that or went through that, because hey.
But you feel like Russell is potentially great, but doesn't
Yes.
really live up to that
Well,
because his success has kind of killed his potential.
to that point, yes. So when I started, when that happened, and when I wrote about it, it was before he launched his YouTube channel, and in his, on his YouTube channel, he started to take on some meatier issues, like real, you know, change in terms of government and how we live. Now, he's a very Marxist type of political leaner, so it's, you know, a lot of his stuff is very, you know, of the people. So there's naivete that's weaved through his
So you think
philosophy.
Marxism is naive?
I think Marxism is naive largely because it's inconsistent with human behavior, because there are natural differences between effort, between raw talent, between
Right.
starting points of different people. So you can't force equalize everyone without some people really being pissed off that you're forcing. So someone's going to work super hard, or going to have super amazing skills, or both, and they're going to feel pretty pissed that you're going to go, well, all right, let's give all that to this other guy who's laying there with a beer on his belly. And so that's where Marxism fails profoundly, because it is inconsistent with the human condition. And
Right.
that's,
No, and
yeah.
I see your point. And then but isn't there a side where even though like in theory that guy with the who has the beer on his belly could in some department help the other guy who is super successful and hard worker and talented? Like isn't that where in theory things equal out
Yeah.
because you're not just awesome across the board and another person is mediocre across the board. Somewhere there are strengths and weaknesses to all of us or something.
Yes, but in that's in theory. But in reality, if that fat fuck doesn't get up and do something, then it doesn't matter how much ability, how much skill, how much magic is encompassed in his lumpy frame. But if he doesn't put any of it out there, then it doesn't matter. Then it
Oh my
matters
God.
not at all, at
All
all.
right.
So it's like
Fine.
You know what's an example of that? It's like education. Yes, it's great. Wow. You've gone to school, let's say, for 15, 20 years. You've studied all this stuff. Great. That's an input. What have you output? You know, like if you've taken all the stuff in, you're just a consumer. Now, what are you producing with that knowledge? If you're not generating any value with it, then it's useless to the world. That knowledge has just been you sucking things in, but not putting things back out.
I know,
So
but so
that's,
many people do that, I feel.
yeah, they do. And you know, I think a lot of it has to do with where, you know, structurally with where society is. Because let's face it, we don't have to struggle for food or shelter or whatever the way we did throughout history. So now, yeah, it's, you know, things come easier. And when they do, you're like, eh, I'll take a nap.
All right, totally true. Awesome
All right.
little side deviation. I
Yeah,
love it.
totally sidetracked.
But so he's basically becoming a little more responsible in YouTube, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he's starting to take on some of that potential. He's starting to marry the humor with the substance.
Cool. So, so do you feel like he's actually. Maybe he's read what you wrote and is taking some of your advice. So, well, dear listeners, the three things that Steve highlights that contribute to how success can smother greatness is delusion, mentorship, and gamesmanship. Right, Steve?
Yes. You want
Yeah,
to do you want to take those one at a time?
I do. I want to break them down for our people.
Well, delusion is not the good part. That's the bad part, which is really, you know, if success comes early in an undeserved way, that demotivates you from working very hard. So
Right. And you know, actually, David Rotman, you know, who was on the show last week and for a few weeks, he talks about how, like, the way he describes it psychologically is that if your ego grows faster than your higher self, then there's like this bridge between, like a gap between them, and you have to play catch up. And that's where everything goes wrong.
Yeah, a lot of people never catch up if that happens. Now, you know, the most simple example that comes to mind would be like a high school athlete that gets laid a lot and has a, you know, a basically life is a party at that age. Now, if that goes to your head, which let's face it, it could because you're young and
Because
you
you're
and
awesome and you're
Yeah,
living.
exactly. You're young and you're getting the attention of every girl and you're whatever, then that's terrific at that time. But if it demotivates you from putting effort into what you want to do or developing skills or developing your intellect or developing other tools in your toolbox, then you might find yourself years later just that being the highlight of your life
So
because,
the
yeah.
delusion comes in believing that you've
Believing your
kind of
own
made
hype.
it. You've made
Yes,
it,
that's
right?
right. Smoking your own dope.
Right.
Yeah. And that happens with wealth as well, where you could, you know, if you're a child of of means, then your life has been cushioned to a large extent. And maybe you haven't had that same pressure to find your niche and find your you know, develop your abilities in the same way that someone who is forced to do that or has that mandate and that fire that is not just internal but external. And so that is the difference. So there are people who, regardless of where they come from, are going to have that internal flame and they're just going to go and deliver no matter what. They just intrinsic to them. Those people you don't have to worry about whether they come from nothing or whether they have means or whatever, or early success or late success. But then there are others
But do you
that
think that's because like delusion somehow didn't play a role there? Or is
I've
it other aspects?
No, yeah, I think some people just are wired differently where they have that intrinsic drive.
Relativity, but isn't there like a relativity?
No, I don't, that's not how I would necessarily put it, but I think it's a wiring. It's a drive. It's something that is innate that it, just like This applies to college, I think, when a lot of people are there's a growing contingent of people that are saying, hey, you don't need college, you could do on your own. So I think college does a disservice to people at the very low end who probably should be a trade school, and it does a disservice to the people at the very high end who are so driven that college is just slowing them down. It's just a big speed, it's just a bunch of speed bumps, because they would learn way more by just doing, and through learning by doing. And so let's say it's 5% on either side, maybe 10% on either side, and then everyone in the middle probably can benefit from college because it helps them figure out direction, develop the tools, and so on.
Okay, cool. Okay, but so back to the topic.
Yes.
Right, so success. Mentorship. Tell me about that, because I find like I just love that. I just love that idea, because it's like looking to your elders and like older is wiser. Like there's some truth to that wisdom, and it seems for you that it plays a role in really becoming your full potential or something.
It is. It's very important, but it's very hard to find. And we're now really manufacturing it in a way that it used to exist much more naturally throughout human history, where apprenticeship was the norm, right? Where you would, right? You would learn. There was no school. There was no like third party construct that someone erected somewhere that you have to go, well, time to pack my bags and go to this thing and drink beer bongs or whatever they're
So it's
called.
really just going to the apprentice to learn how to paint like he painted or whatever.
Yeah, part of it is that, and now it's more. I don't know if touchy feely is the right term, but it's more ephemeral in that it's more guidance than specific skill learning, but it's how to handle situations, how to handle life, how to respond in different circumstances that arise. So but that person
So
has to be the
how
right person.
to's in life, but not necessarily like what I think what mentorship has, which is kind of what you're saying is lacking, is it's very specific, right?
Yeah, I
It's like kind of like a good match for you with what you want in this world.
Yeah, I think it's historically it's been what to and how to. Now I think it's just more how to. Right? Because what to was it's like, oh, here's how you whittle wood, here's how you make a spear, here's how you fix shoes, here's how you do whatever that you were learning from this guide that you had. And that guide was almost there by necessity, or could have been just by functional need for the community you were in. But now you have to find it based on interest and area of and also not just your own interest, but also that other person has to be in a position to give. I think a lot of people aren't good mentors because they're not in a place where they can be selfless. Like if they're still climbing the ladder, then you know what? They're not going to be ready to give. They're just going to use you as a tool to get them
As
up
another
higher.
stepping stone, absolutely. And so, but having a mentor, so you don't have a mentor, right?
No, I don't. And
And you wish that you had.
I do. I wish that I had. And I've reached out here and there to people and tried to, but it's hard. I think once you get into a mature level in your career, you have to find people who are older and closer to death. So, and
You're so.
also And also ones that aren't, I think there are two things. One is they have to be ready professionally, so that climbing part has it can't be their driving force in life anymore. And the second thing is they can't be narcissists. If someone is constantly needing attention and needing to attract other people's eyeballs or ears or whatever, if that's the case, that type of person is very, they're not a good listener. They're a talker. They're pushing out. They're not taking in.
So that would right. This would not make a good mentor, but having a mentor when you're like trying to be successful would what? Humble you?
Yeah, I think it would ground you. I think it, if it's the right kind of person, it helps you deal with situations that arise and really give you an honest type of feedback that you couldn't get from people who have a vested interest in your day-to-day activities. So whether it's your boss or your subordinates or your maybe a friend could, but friends aren't that impartial, maybe, or maybe you don't feel comfortable talking about certain things, or you don't have that type of relationship. So I think it has to be someone who's outside, and there are different mentors for different things. I'm using it more in a work type context, but I guess it could
No,
be
but
more in
sure, that
life.
happens in anywhere, even like, say, with an acting teacher. But so
Yeah.
if you don't feel that you need help from anyone, that's not going to be very helpful to you, basically.
Well, in some cases you're right, and in some cases you're delusional, right? So there are, I would probably argue that most people do need it, but a lot of people don't recognize that need. And I'm not pushing it as a thing. I think it's very hard to just say, oh, I need it and I will have it, because it's not that easy. I think finding the right mix for what you need and what the other person's able and willing to give is very hard. So that finding that overlap in this situation, and I've had mentors assigned to me in the past, and it hasn't really worked, because that person has to really understand and get where you're coming from and what motivates you and why you are the way you are.
I remember I had this boyfriend who had a mentor who, like, he had gone to some kind of Irish Catholic high school of all boys, and there was a father there, like a person of the church called a
Yes.
father.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, father, I don't know what, Brian or something. And this man who kind of took a liking, a very positive, safe liking to my boyfriend at the time, has now become, I mean, has since been his mentor. And that's from when he was probably 16, 17 years old to this day, when, in his mid-30s. And I've seen their relationship over the years a little bit. And it's pretty amazing because it seems like it's a surrogate parent, but who doesn't have, it's like a parent without all the baggage.
Yeah.
You're more likely to listen to this person in a way that maybe you wouldn't to your parents. And it's someone with your, who's thinking about your interests based and maybe on their interests too, not based on like that, the fact that they want you to be the next president of the United States.
Right. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you chose them, rather than parents you didn't choose, they were assigned to you. So an assigned mentor may or may not serve that role. Some parents have that relationship with their kids and are able to contribute good feedback in that way, but others may not, and you just, I think it feels more empowering when you are the one who made that choice.
Right, absolutely. And I think, I imagine that it also, wait, did you say empowering?
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
so.
and I feel like that kind of feeds into, kind of in an additional way, into this idea of like coming into your power and owning yourself. Like just the very fact that you have connected with this person who like is a good fit for you, who can help you, just that in a way is empowering compared to kind of going along hoping to receive affection or love or guidance from random people.
Yeah, and a big part of that also is just the ability to seek help. And when I say help, there could be something dire in a therapeutic sense that you need, but also
Or
help.
not dire.
No, we're not.
I
Right,
say. Yeah.
exactly. Or you could just have
Just
something
fresh
that.
out of therapy.
Fresh out of therapy. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Just asking for help. I think women are likelier to do that than men. Men will bottle stuff in more than women
Well,
would.
but I feel like that's what happens in relationships, is that because women actually ask for help and chat about their problems kind of with everyone, and men don't, then I think that when they get into relationships, this is my little theory, that men are like, Oh, I can chat about my problems with you. And so, like, the partner becomes like the only person that they express those things to. I think that happens more with men than women. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's not a bad theory. I'm
Right.
signing up. If there's a petition
So
form somewhere, I'll sign
the
it.
last point, gamesmanship. So, as you said, age forces you to change your game. You were saying, like, you have to
Right.
develop new strategies of staying great or staying the best in your game. So, what, tell me about that. Because I love that. That's like, and it's so fucking basic, too. It's like, it's the
Yeah.
learning is never over, university of life, blah, blah, blah.
Wow, you really did it justice there. The blah 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 is an especially great exclamation point. No, this is the thing that a lot of people don't want to acknowledge is sometimes you're just not hot anymore. And I mean that not just in the looks department. I mean in every possible way. Your needs to change as you mature, as life goes on. So, for example, I used a baseball analogy for this. But when you're a young pitcher going through the minor leagues, you might have an amazing arm. You can throw 100 miles an hour, and just on raw skill alone, a bunch of batters are going to strike out. But you know what? Four, five, 6 years into a career, you start to lose some of that speed because your arm just wears out. And now all of a sudden, you need to place the pitches more precisely. You need to know more about the batters. You need to outthink them. You need to learn additional pitches that don't.
It's like
Right.
plasticity.
You need to rely on ball movement, not just speed anymore. So you need to learn other pitches and mix it up. So now.
My eyes are glazing over as these
No,
baseball
but this is
analogies
some attractive
continue.
woman who can,
I'm kidding, I
get a
get it.
meeting because you're attractive and you can wear a certain outfit that will get someone's attention. Now, granted, you're still going to have to close the deal with your skill, but you used the tool that was in your toolbox in order to open the door to allow you to do that. And if you're a young guy or something, then you can bond over some other stuff and maybe even people like kind of cut you some slack. It's like, hey, like they see you as a, yeah, buddy, or they see you like a little brother or whatever, and they cut you some slack. But as time goes on, you're not going to get cut
Buddy,
slack
buddy.
anymore. People expect you to actually do stuff and not screw it up. And
Right.
or you may not have the 100 mile an hour fastball anymore. So,
Right.
right.
Right, so you have to be able to adapt and
Right,
change
and a
as you
lot of people
change.
don't
Or and almost
recognize
it's almost like it's not even just
that
as you
when that
change, but
shift
sometimes
ha
you're it's like the
starts to
night gets
happen,
dull.
they're oblivious. They still think they're like, oh, I could just do this little thing with my hair and get my way. Yeah, it's a word.
Well, yeah. Well, I feel like actually what you're broaching, I don't know. I think that's the word. Yeah, what you're broaching here is actually huge, which is the incredible what I've experienced with many friends and maybe even myself is the incredible
Yeah.
shock, actually, and disappointment that what worked before doesn't work now, or like, and there's something there that's like you can kind of live in a place where you're just going to be
Right.
totally disappointed that. That your mini skirt no longer
Right.
does
It's the
everything for
difference
you and that you
between
need to do other
instant
things,
gratification and
but
delayed
nothing's going to change
gratification,
unless you
spending
change
versus
that.
saving, investing in your long-term skill set versus taking advantage of your short-term gifts or yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right. It's like you might have the
Exactly. And
talent, like Russell
comedy
Brand
and
maybe has
performance,
talent,
that is a
but that has to
skill.
be
He
honed
has an
into
innate
a
ability
skill.
to captivate an audience. But then once you captivate them, once you flash your leg, which is essentially what he's doing, you need to then still have the knowledge of the product and have the actual content to back it up. So yes, you got their attention. You got through the door. You flashed some skin, Russell Brand. Now, give us the jokes, deliver. And that's the part that you can get by on up to a point, but then it becomes very obvious as you get later and later in your career as the skin flashing equivalent, whatever yours is, male or female, dissipates. All of a sudden, you're left not knowing the substance of the thing you're supposed to be doing. So, yeah.
Right, and I feel like and like thinking about these 3 points that we brought up, like delusion, mentorship, and gamesmanship, I feel like the questions that I see people asking related to this, like in delusion, it's like, but I'm so great. Why isn't this working? It's like, maybe there's something you can learn. Maybe there's something that can change here for you. Mentorship, it's like, I don't need any help. Right? Like I should be able to do this on my own. No, what's the big glory in doing something all on your own? I mean, sure, there is lots of gratification to that, but it's not the end all be all. And then the last one is kind of like, why isn't this working anymore? Why, and I feel like that happens also with dating. People think they have to make the same effort that they made before their divorce
Right,
when they were dating like
maybe
20
it
years
becomes
ago.
more about
But
conversation
you have to
and less
change your
about
game,
just,
maybe, if you want to
raw
have success.
attraction and physicality. So then, again, the game changes. If you're old, how do you stay in a successful relationship as a couple when you're in your 70s or 80s? Because now it's no longer about, hey, we're hot, let's bone. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, have you read this thing in the New York Times? Or like, let's go. That's right, exactly.
Right. Let's talk over this article together. But on the I think on the positive side of all this is that, at least from what I take away from what you're saying, is that when these things are addressed, or and probably a few others, but at least when
Absolutely.
these 3 major things are addressed, you can actually become more
Yeah,
successful
there's
than you
any
ever thought you
number of
might be.
things that can
Like
help you
the limits
along
keep
that
going
path.
up in a way.
These
Would you
things
agree with
are
that?
ones that just being conscious of them is already a good start, but then also acting on them to the extent that you can. The mentorship thing, I think you have to keep an eye out and maybe seek them out, but whether you find them or not isn't necessarily always up to you. But in terms of the gamesmanship thing, that is something you can control because those are skills and abilities and tools that you can continue developing in recognition of the in eventual obsolescence of the thing that is your natural thing that can, you can flash your skin and get right now. Exactly.
Right. What you were born with, sort of. I love it. Steve, really, thank you so much for joining me. I feel like this was a great exploration of things that we don't always think about in such a pointed
That's why they
way.
pay
Do you
me
know what I mean?
big
Like, we might be like,
bucks.
oh, well,
Come
like
in and
these things, but we
distill
don't
it all.
hone in on them this way. So I really
Yeah, I
appreciate
will.
your
Of
insight
course.
on
Yeah.
that. Will you come back? Yeah, I will. Thank you so much. So, thank you, listeners, so much for joining us today in our chat. You can find us online. Our home on the web is glimpseofbrilliance.com. There are links there to our Facebook and Twitter page, which I would love for you to check out. And make sure to also look at Steve's page, ideafactory.com, ideafactory with a K.com. And if you have a moment to rate us or write a review, check us out on iTunes. We're there. Search away. And if there's anything you'd like us to discuss, send an email to hello@glimpseofbrilliance.com.
Thank you.
Yeah. it will arrive very
Bye.
safely and happily. So thank you so much again for listening, and Steve, thanks again.
Yeah. All right.